Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. I am your hostess, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and I am wanting to thank everyone for joining me tonight as I finalize my series entitled Planting Spiritual Seeds, and this is part five of a five-part episode. So we're finalizing everything up for the month of March. And I just want to thank everybody that has joined me and listened and has been faithful and continue to be faithful with me. I'm excited about what God is doing in my life and in the lives of my listeners. So, again, welcome, welcome, welcome. As always, I would like to start out in prayer. And we're going to go and we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And we're going to thank God for today. Father God, which art in heaven, we thank you for this day, Father God. We thank you for allowing us to be in your presence and in your will one more day, God. We thank you for just giving us our health and our strength. We thank you for a mind that stays focused on you. We thank you for just being a God of second chances. We thank you for forgiveness, God. We thank you for being an almighty God, all omnipotent, Father God. We thank you for our homes, our families, our children, God, our cars. And we ask that if there's anyone out there that is in need of anything, God, that you be that fulfillment, God. We ask that you use me as a mouthpiece tonight, God, as I bring forth the final message, God, that will be pleasing to you and to your will, God. I thank you for being a vessel tonight, God, and I ask that you continue to use me as I uplift and pray for others, God. I know that you're a God that can do all things by yourself, God, but you appoint those and you favor and place those people that need to say what you want them to say, God, and I thank you for that tonight, God. And I ask that you allow others to plant seeds in other people's lives, as I am hopefully planting seeds in those believers tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray, and I thank you again, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Okay, well, that goes our prayer. And I'm going to go ahead and jump right on in because I have so much to talk about. There's so much information, and this is our final series. And I just want to inform you as much as I can about what God wants us to know. So the segment goes as follows. We're going to learn about the seed law within itself. We're going to learn about how spiritual babies are conceived through the word of God and through planting seeds. So we're going to learn how we conceive spiritual babes or Christian babies, okay? We're going to learn about seeds and the weeds, okay? Weeds are growing with the seeds daily. We have to learn how to get rid of those weeds. We're going to also talk about being a seed of Abraham and how Abraham is heir and left us heir to his grace and to his will. So we want to talk about being seeds of Abraham. We also want to talk about planting financial seeds, okay? And that is going to be a great topic as well. So I hope you got your Bibles ready. You called up a friend or a family member, and you're ready to listen to what thus says the Lord from your holistic health coach and your evangelist. I am Yolanda Henderson again, and I'm willing to come to you tonight with thus says the Lord. All right, so if anyone has any questions, tonight's call-in number is 516-531-9837. Again, that number is 516-531-9837. If you have any questions, please feel free to stop me and interact. I would appreciate it if you have something to say. Okay. We're all going into the scripture, and I'm going to tell you what page to turn to in just a minute. I'm so excited about what God is doing. You just don't understand. He is being a blessing in my life and continuing to be a blessing. And it's just amazing how God is revealing things to me in these lessons. As I explain them to you, I'm also getting an epiphany and understanding how God really works and how awesome he is and intelligent of a God he is. Okay, so seed concepts are not known in modern America, okay? And very few people plant gardens in America. We all know that, and grow their own fruits because in America we have stores and things like that where we can go ahead and go and pick up our fruits and our vegetables and our crops or whatever is already grown for us. So it's not really that modernized in America anymore. But a farm concept was a widely known principle in the early Bible days, okay? This is one of the key reasons Jesus taught us using principles so often in the parable lessons that he gave us. So if you kind of want to understand what the Word of God is saying, and you understand the parables of the sower and the reaper and planting spiritual seeds, you have to be able to understand from a non-modernized technique or back in the biblical days, so to speak, how things were before they industrialized or became more silver than they were back then. So today, modern children just think everything is magic and that it appears at the grocery store or at the market, and they probably not even have a clue of how things are produced. Many of us don't. As a holistic health coach, I have learned about gardening, and I'm willing to teach other people about gardening. And actually, we have in gardening classes, and we're actually trying to bring this back into the school system so that our younger generation will be able to know how to farm, how to garden. So as a result of this and the loss of essential concepts and the laws of planting seeds and getting harvest, okay, so a lot of us have lost that concept, but that's okay. To lose sight of these concepts is to lose sight of God's divine ways. The seed concept is still a vital part of the end time plan of God. God has never lost sight of what seeds are and how seeds work. And that is one of the reasons that we spent a lot of time on this subject, okay, this 5 series. So we believe that it's actually critical to understand how God works in the spiritual realm. And since we do not have any personal experiences in this realm, we must rely on the natural realm that God created as a pattern of information for the unseen spiritual realm. Speaking, saying, just because we don't have the spiritual realm, a lot of us can't see that. We have to look at the physical, at what we do have, which are planting actual factual seeds, in order to have a side-by-side revelation of what is actually happening in the spirit. Okay. So, of course you do not interpret nature. You interpret the Word of God, using the Word of God to define the things that you find in nature. And this is the key to seeing these Bible truths hidden and hitting spiritual things. So tonight I'm going to expand on the topic of the seed within itself. And that was what I talked about in the first couple of series about the law of seed within itself, law of Genesis 1, using some fresh New Testament verses, okay? So let's turn to Hebrews 7 and 9, and it talks about how the Levi paid tithes in Abraham because he was a seed of Abraham. Levi was a future descendant of Abraham, yet God counted what Abraham did as applying to what Levi had done. This is one of the most profound truths in the Bible that I've seen and yet have not heard hardly anyone teach on it. So tonight I'm going to give you some examples of these concepts, and we're going to turn over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, okay? And it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in, the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? So there are verses like this one in the Bible that will totally confuse you unless you understand the seed laws and apply them correctly. Okay. So how can Paul have been crucified with Christ when he was not even there physically with him? Okay. So I hope that you're beginning to see this is possible. Okay. Paul was not there when Jesus was crucified. We all seen the Passion of the Christ. We've never seen Paul right there with him, and we know for a fact that he wasn't there. But in the scripture, it says that I am crucified with Christ. Okay, so let's take a look at what he's really saying. Everything in the Bible is not literal. It is spiritual. So you have to put on your spiritual glasses in order to understand what is happening and what is being said in the spirit. Okay. So Paul was not there physically, but he was there spiritually as a future spiritual seed of God. If natural children are natural seeds in the Bible, then spiritual children are spiritual seeds. Okay. But of a spirit kind. So remember, everything produces after its own kind. Jesus was called the seed of Abraham and the seed of David in the Bible. Paul was calling himself a seed of Jesus Christ. So whatever happened to Jesus is what happened to us who are born again. Okay? We have to be crucified daily. We're crucifying our flesh. That means we're stripping off, we're taking out, we're bashing, we're dying to our flesh. Now let's look at it again. So, whatever happened to Jesus is what's happening to us, and we're born again. Since the spiritual birth is a spiritual process that is patterned after the natural process, we can very easily begin to see that Paul considered himself to be a spiritual descendant of Jesus. So Paul looked at Jesus as being his spiritual father. Paul looked to Jesus as being the head of a new spiritual family of God, and as you and I are also in his family. So here's another verse, okay? This verse comes from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. If you have your Bible, please join me and turn to that scripture. Okay, so I hope everyone has turned to that scripture. And that was Ephesians chapter 2, 6. And it says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So as you can see, this verse says that we have been raised from the dead with Christ and that we now sit with him in heaven. However, you have never, have you ever been to heaven? No. Do you think you've been to heaven? Probably not. If you have been, you probably died or saw a spiritual vision of heaven. No, again, we see the application of the seed within itself, a law being applied to us in a spiritual realm. Whatever our Father Jesus accomplished, we accomplished because we are in him when he did them. So this is awesome. It's amazing. And it's like really cool concept to try to wrap your mind around it. So everything that Jesus did, we did it again if we are born again. I'm sorry. We did it if we're born again. And this is why the New Testament, you can search and find so many verses in the Bible that describe how we are in Christ, in him, in whom. Okay? By finding out what Christ did, you will find out what you did. Okay? So, this is amazing. We can also do what Christ did. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, it says, and I'm going to repeat that again so you can follow along with me. I want you to be able to read this for yourself because it's some good information. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Okay? So there are just too many scriptures in the Bible that repeat the seed within the self principle. And it's just really obvious that it's supposed to be an example of Christ being in Adam and Adam, even all of us being in Christ. Okay? So I think I gave you this one before, but it is so good that I will briefly go over it again. And it says, "Because the human race was in Adam, all of us must die. All mankind must die. Adam's death passed death to every one of his seed." Now, if you remember, going back to Genesis, Adam was deceived by the serpent, and he ate of the fruit, and then God cursed him and said that he surely will die. So that was passed on from generation to generation, okay? Remember that. So we are in Adam. Adam's sin is in us. We're a product or produce of what Adam's seed was, or a seed of Adam. Okay? This is a natural picture of the seed within the self concept being described to us very clearly. Then there's a spiritual contrasting truth that is now revealed to us that Jesus, who is the last Adam, okay, and that he is a spiritual procreator of a new people that will live. We will live and not die. We will be resurrected and not die. Thank you, Jesus. So because Jesus was raised from the dead, and this is coming up on Good Friday, this Friday, and how Jesus was crucified and how he was raised from the dead. This is awesome. This is awesome information. This is the Spirit of God. This is what he wants us to know at such a time as this. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, and we have been raised from the dead because we are in him, as in Adam all died, so those in Christ will all live. Make sure that you are in Christ if you want to live spiritually in God's family. That's some awesome truth. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new." So if any man be in Christ, not if any man say they want to be Christ-like. You have to be in him. You have to be a seed. And Christ's seed was perfect, was almost perfect, was almost the holy God. So we have to therefore be a seed after its own kind, okay, in order to be in Christ. Then we're new creatures. Then the old things are passed away. We don't desire to do what we used to do. We don't desire to go places we used to go. And behold, all things have become new in our lives. Okay? So being in Christ is an essential to understanding your position today in the spiritual realm. Okay? Those who were spiritually born again have become new creation of the Almighty God. This means that we are something that never existed before. Adam had a spirit within his body, but did not have the spirit of God in union with his spirit. You can see in this verse that translators have added three words that are not in the Greek. So if you can see, if you take these out, they basically say the same thing. So you can't say that, oh, the translations are different or they added a word. No. Okay, so when you add and take out something and it still means the same thing, it still is the same thing, no matter what you say, okay? So if you take these things that basically say the same thing, but review it without these words. It says, without those three words, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man in Christ a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you can see it from a subtle difference now. Okay, the fact that we're in Christ has not changed, but only because we are in Christ makes us a new creature with Christ. God, the Almighty Creator, became a part of his creation by his design purpose. I could try to elaborate a little bit, and this is why it's necessary that we might just clap the current subject with too much information. So I'll pass all of that for now, and then we'll focus on the fact that a man is now in Christ and that it was also makes him to be able to participate as a new creature, a new creature. So go back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, just a little bit down. It says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So now we can see why Jesus was so different and why Satan did not know what to do with this man. Jesus was born of a human male that had the Spirit of God within his body. This is the seed within itself, constant being repeated. So God provided himself the seed for our reconciliation, okay? Reconciliation means to reconcile, re-come back to where we were supposed to be, okay? Rejoining. These seed concepts are important for you to understand, and it truly helps you to see what was accomplished by God and how he did them. So God was in Christ. The church was in Christ. So we are now in God, Christ in us. The hope of glory. So now the reverse concept is also applicable in the New Testament. You can see that not only are we in Christ, but Christ must also be in us. It's a two-way seed street reality that's also dwelling in us. So how do you get Christ in you? John 15 and 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Too much talk about planting seeds, fruit, bearing fruit in itself, abiding in, also out, being fruitful. All of this is in the Bible, it's in Scripture. Understanding what has been taken from us, the knowledge of planting, reaping, and harvesting, farming. It's all a concept that's in the Bible. If you read with the mindset of what happens when you're planting seeds in the natural, you will see this the way it's supposed to be in the supernatural. More seed concepts are given in this first statement of Jesus. So we can see the concept of fruit being given again. Like I told you, fruit is the end result that God is looking for in the lives of every Christian. This fruit will always contain seed to produce more fruit. This is, again, the seed within itself concept. We can also see that the two-way street, and we just referred to it and how that works. So while the seed of God is in us and we are in the vine of God, the vine represents Christ and we are in him. We, the church, are the branches that produce the fruit as long as we abide in him. Christ, the vine. But we, the church, are also the ones that have the word of God in us. If you recall from the earlier lessons on the subject, the word of God was the seed of God. So the word is the seed. We have been born again, and not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. The corruptible seed being the bad seed, and the incorruptible being of the good seed, which is the word of God, according to 1 Peter 1:23. So we are beginning to see how it is a full circle concept of seed salvation. Everything starts with the word of God, and everything continues to exist with the word of God. All right, so we're stopping right there, and we're going to take any callers for any questions. And if you have any questions, we're live on the air. I am your hostess, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, Certified Holistic Health Coach. If you have any questions, please call us at 516-531-9837 if you're confused or have a question about what we're talking about. All right, well, thank you for listening. We're back, and I'm your hostess, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and your Certified Holistic Health Coach. I'm going to jump back in on our topic as we finish discussing planting spiritual seeds, part 5 of the 5-part series. Okay, so we were talking about the full circle concept of the seed of salvation and everything that starts with the Word of God and everything that continues to exist with the Word of God, and how the fruit will always contain seed to produce more fruit. Okay, so while the seed of God is in us, we are in the vine of God, and the vine represents Christ, and we are in him. We, the church, are the branches that produce the fruit, and as long as we abide in him, Christ the vine. Okay, so in John, if you want to turn with me to John 15:7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So, do you see what Jesus is telling you? Do you see how the seed concepts and the seed laws are affecting what you get in life? Do you see how that if you abide in Christ and the vine, the spiritual seed of God, and if you will allow the word of God, also the spiritual seed of God, to live in you, a natural seed, the seed within itself,
that you can not only produce fruit, but you can also get your prayers answered by God. Everything hinges upon the word of God, which is a seed of God that produces results that God is expecting to harvest very soon. Seeds are everywhere in the Bible. The concepts of the seeds are everywhere in the Bible. That's what I said earlier, how the words, the scriptures, fruit, seed, harvest, reap. The intelligence of God is so much greater than our minds, and therefore we are challenged to come up with a higher dimension of how to think and about these spiritual thoughts in God's word. May the God of peace enlighten your mind so that you can comprehend these seed principles. All right, so we're going on to the next topic. And our next topic is planting spiritual seeds. It's understanding seeds in the Bible, okay? And these are conceiving spiritual babies. So we talked about how we are in God's seeds and God is in us and we are of God. So God gave us the natural things in our world to teach us about the unseen spiritual things using the wisdom of his intelligent design. So using many Bible verses and seed laws from Genesis 1, we've explored several subjects applying the knowledge of seeds to other scriptures in the New Testament. Okay, so we're going to talk about now discussing the previous seed concepts and seed laws in more details to apply them to how a person becomes a Christian. We have alluded to this subject before other lessons, but we will address it more completely, filling some of the gaps. So we've already okay, that's what Jesus said. From this parable, we should know, we should now know that God's word was the seed and that the soil was spreading. We're also learning that the soil in this parable was also the hearts of the spirits of men and women in the world. These were six revealed types of soil presented to us in the parable. Three types of the soil did not produce spiritual fruit, and three types of soil did produce spiritual fruit, varying in degrees of multiplication. Okay, so this parable demonstrates the salvation to us very clearly and fully describes how you became a Christian. So those that we
have natural things and rule over their decisions to be a Christian.
My call ended. No? Okay. So it did. I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. Just bear with me. Okay, so the devil don't like it because I'm speaking some truth, but we're going to get this thing together anyhow. Okay, so we're talking about the parable that demonstrates salvation to us. And allow other factors overrule their decision to be a Christian and those that were not saved. Those that hear the word of God, understand it, and choose to believe it, they are the ones that are saved and born again. This is really not that text to me, but I guess many people have not understood it and therefore do not apply it to the subject of how people become Christians. So based upon the intimate knowledge of this parable of the sower, it would appear to me that more word of God we know, the more fruitful we will become. Okay, anybody else think that? Okay. Well, conversely, the less you know about God's word seals your fate to hell. So you do understand this, don't you? Jesus teaching the parable of the sower was Jesus spreading the word of God to the entire world. Every man, woman, child born of Adam represents the symbolic soil that is responsible to allow or permit God's seed to be planted. It is so much more than human rejection of the word of God. The seed from the soil, the spirit, that causes people to go to hell and anything else that we're able to do. So people like to think that sin is a key factor for going to hell. But this is simply not the case based upon the word of God. The Bible does say that everyone that has sinned and have come short of the glory of God, which is found in Romans 3:22. If everyone is a sinner, there must be another factor for who was saved and who was not. And it basically boils down to what type of soil we choose to be. So do you realize that only you make the choice in your life and for your life? I can't do it for you. Your wife or your husband can't do it for you. Your mother or your father can't do it for you. And even God can't and will not do it for you either. So do you know that you have a spiritual enemy that is helping you to make the wrong choices? Only by studying the Bible can we better recognize the devices, plans, and traps of the spiritual enemy. Only by continuing to study in the Bible are you able to grow and mature to being the overcomer that God has designed you to be. God is expecting to come back for a victorious church and not a defeated church. So the parable of the sower gives us the basic overview for the whole plan of God for our salvation. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, a.k.a. the word of God. By preaching the word of God, you are sowing the seed of the word of God into the hearts of many people who choose to let it grow. So the pattern, okay, so we have seen children called the seeds, okay? So let's see. I'm sorry, technical difficulties again. Okay. So based upon the parable, okay, of the sower, gives us basic overview for the whole plan of God for our salvation. So Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, a.k.a. the word of God, and that's from Mark 16 and 15. And by preaching the word of God, you are sowing the seed of the word of God into the hearts of more people who can choose to let it grow, okay? It's just like becoming an evangelist. Everybody has a job of evangelism. That's just not one person's job. We hear that now as we see planting spiritual seeds and what the seed is. The seed is the word of God and what God desires for our lives, okay? So you, too, can become an evangelist. You, too, can evangelize. Preaching the word of God, you're sowing the seed of the word of God into the hearts of people who choose to let it grow. So hopefully I'm allowing a seed to grow in you tonight as we listen to this series and all of the previous series. This is the salvation or damnation in action. The soil decides its outcome and what kind of fruit that it produces. So let's look at this closer. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth and to you and I when he left the Bible for us. Paul says that he has planted, okay? So what does it mean to plant something? What was planted? As you can clearly see, there are seed concepts that are repeated for us, okay? So maybe you do not understand these concepts fully because you have never planted a natural garden in your backyard. You're not familiar with planting seeds, okay? But I know about planting, like I said, and about gardening, and I know what seed concepts mean. You can't as also. So you always start the process by putting seeds in the soil, and then you continue the process by watering the soil, and they grow over time into something that you desire to have. If you look back at the previous verse, you will see that Paul and Apollos were ministers. A minister is anyone that sows God's word by God's design. If you hear someone speak in church that is not teaching from the Bible, they are not a minister of God. If you go to a church and the speaker is teaching from a Reader's Digest, Lord, hope we don't go to that kind of church. You need to find another church that works like God said it. So Paul sowed only from the word of God to the people in Corinth, and they believed it. Then there came along another preacher named Apollos, and he watered the seed that was in the hearts and the spirits of the people with more of the word of God, and this helped the seed to continue to grow. So say, for instance, you go to church, you hear the scripture, you hear the word of God, then here along comes evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and she comes and she brings and delivers to you the word of God. That's further watering your plant your seed that is being sowed into your soil. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of God. So, and this has helped the seed to continue to grow. But it says that it was God that gave the increase. In other words, God caused his word to grow. Therefore, only God gives the glory to the salvation of man. So you understand that no farmer can take the credit for what grows in his field. It's just like the farmer going planting the seed and watering it, but the sun has to make these grow and needs the light. So we cannot take the credit for what God is already doing in the lives of the seeds. We don't get the glory. God gets the glory. Amen to that. So does the farmer understand how corn is produced from seed? Did the farmer create the seed that produces the corn crop? No, we didn't create anything. God created it. Okay, it comes from our Father and our Savior. So neither a farmer or a minister created the seed. They are sowing or invented the growth process that takes place. No, only God did this. He's so intelligent. He's such an awesome God. He's so powerful and omnipotent. He just does things in his own design, in his own unique way, and he has a patent on everything. Praise God for that. So neither a farmer or a minister, like I said, created the seed or in the inventing process. We just water the seeds and plant the seeds and watch them grow, okay? So this is called the design seed process from God using his created seed. So we're going to go ahead and jump on over to 1 Peter 1:23 that says, being born again is not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I think I have given this verse before in another lesson on seeds, but it bears repeating for a current discussion on how people are born again. The fact that we've been born again is attributable to us receiving the incorruptible seed of the word of God into our spirits. There are two terms given to us by God in this verse that are very critical to understand. So these are the corruptible versus the incorruptible, the good versus the bad, or the bad versus the good. The term corruptible means able to decay, and you can state this to be an equivalent to a man's mortal body. The natural realm is temporary realm of decaying particles. The laws of the thermodynamics dictate that everything around us is in decay, okay? So our bodies are constantly growing older, our hair turns gray, our sight becomes bad. We are decaying as from our baby state to our old state. Okay, so it is not reorganizing like evolutionists like to believe. If you build a new car today and never drive it, it will become a pile of rusted metal in the course of time. Okay, so the opposite of mortal is immortal. We have been born again from an immortal seed. And you may recall that Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. His word is here today, the same as it was yesterday, and tomorrow it will be the same, okay? We are the only things on earth that will decay and die. So the word of God is immortal and not capable of being eliminated. The word of God is the incorruptible seed that causes us to be born again spiritually. Corruptible seed can be viewed as either a physical or a spiritual type of seed. The sperm of a man is a corruptible seed. But also the spiritual words, seeds of Satan, are also considered to be corruptible towards the human spirit. Jesus never said that the words of your enemy, Satan, will stand forever. So every false religion will be eliminated someday. So we now have a dilemma of sorts of how to discuss natural things so that we do not offend anyone by comparing them to spiritual things. You see, if you are born again, is a comparable pattern to being born in the natural the first time, then how are the natural babies conceived? You can begin to see my difficulty, can you? God created sex for a reason, and it wasn't just to make you feel good. Sex is a part of the reproduction pattern of new life on our planet. So sex must be related to the new spiritual life also. So how does natural sex relate to the spiritual new birth? It's very different, believe me. That is where we are today, okay? So here's a new concept that you may never have
I never thought of. Genesis 4:1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. We are informed that Adam knew his Eve, and she conceived his physical seed. This is God's definition of natural sex in the Bible. By the law first mentioned, God again gives us a definition of what it means to conceive, revealed in terms of the spiritual information and description. God could not have described this act differently, or he could have described this act differently, but he specifically chose this Hebrew word translation as new. The definition of this word is therefore very critical for us to understand in order to see how it applies to spiritual things like being born again. The Hebrew word translated as new means a certain by seed. This is truly complex because men are visual types of people. They like women are not visual people, and they do not want to see anything, generally speaking. There is a widely used term for natural sex that is called carnal knowledge. And this phrase is more in the line with the spiritual realm information that we need to apply correctly instead of thinking of human term intercourse. We need to correctly transfer God's definition of sex as knowingly into the spiritual new birth process. We should be able to see using our knowledge of the parable of the sower in order for humans to be born again. They must have spiritual knowledge with the Lord's God's word, his seed. So this is not sex as you think, right? Now it is. However, it is still spiritual sex according to God's definition of act. The human ability to see God spiritually, God's word causes them to conceive it. So, however, don't forget there still exists an enemy to the salvation process trying to steal the seed from being sown. The successor or failure of the salvation seed process is completely dependent upon the fact that some people understand the word of God and some people just do not. This enemy's method of causing some people not to understand is revealed more clearly in the New Testament scripture that says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe it not. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 4:4. You see, spiritual blindness is the inability to see or literally understand spiritual things. So if you recall in the parable of the sower, Satan came immediately to steal the word of God that was sown into the heart, and he was able to do this only because they did not understand it. Okay, so Matthew 13:19. Therefore, spiritual eyesight is the key to having spiritual knowledge and understanding. I could talk a lot more about the part of the subject, but I'm trying to get through with the subject. We have about 10 minutes left, and I have another series episode to go. It says in Galatians 4:19, my little children of who I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So here we have another very difficult, complex, deep scripture to try to swim through. The Apostle Paul is not a natural female, yet he speaks in the terms of being a spiritual female. Can you see this? Only females give birth. Yes. So according to what I've seen in the Bible, God only creates females to give birth. So what exactly is Paul talking about? Paul is saying, I have spread God's seed into your hearts by teaching God's word to you, and now I'm waiting for Christ to be formed in you as a result. Spreading seeds, that means the word of God. So the key to this spiritual birthing happening, it was the spiritual ability to see or the spiritual knowledge of the person who heard the word of God that will determine whether they will conceive Christ and be born again. Simple. Paul can sow all of the seed he wants to, but none of it will grow unless the soil of the hearer allows it to stay by understanding what was said. So you can easily see how there you can read the verses of the Bible and totally miss what is going on and what's being told to you. You can see that there is implied reality that Paul is a part of a spiritual woman called the Bride of Christ. So the complexity of the Bible is so great that it causes many people to stumble. People will never see the spiritual truth of God's word trying to figure it out using only their natural minds. But what we can see is that Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus was not the be-all and the end-all for his Christian experience. He was now responsible for getting more people born again by sowing the incorruptible seed of the word of God. So getting people born again is an incorruptible seed, and that is the goal of every Christian. It should be. Okay, so this is the new spiritual family of God and the multiplication of the spiritual seed of God by sowing the incorruptible seed into new soil. Going on to our next topic real quick. I'm sorry I don't have a lot of time for questions, but we can speak offline if you have any questions after the show. The number to call is 1-888-959-2093. We're going to go ahead and skip being the seed of Abraham. We know that we are all seed after its own kind, and that the Bible says that we are heirs to Abraham. And I think you all know who Abraham was in the Bible. So we're going to go over to planting financial seeds, and I know a lot of people really want to, this information. A lot of people's finances are in trouble, and I can go on and on with this topic for another whole series, but our next topic will be understanding the grieving process and understanding losing a loved one. Okay, so planting spiritual seeds is found approximately 257 verses in the King James Version that directly mention this word. Seed, so 20 verses that speak about money or can be applied to money directly. So, of course, the scripture is desired to try to apply verses to the topic. So even the seeds of finances are a minor part of this subject in this entire seed topic realm, but it's still a valid concept that applies to our money. So first off, think about this. Farming and agriculture were common methods of income in Bible days. The seed concepts of sowing and reaping applied whether you planted corn or raised sheep. If you farm, you were raised in crops or animals that could be sold or traded to others. So the seed concepts found in the Bible about farming must also apply to the modern day money and finances directly also. Farmers used the seeds to grow crops, and these crops produced food and then originally planted seeds. So the principles of sowing seeds into good ground and seed increase and multiplication are clearly applicable to our modern money. In the world of finances, money will represent the seed. Today, we can take money and invest it in the stock market or whatever, expecting it to grow over time. This is a seed principle that works when you plant your seeds in good ground. You see good ground in the financial world as companies that are going to be profitable. Okay, so if you place your money in a company that is foolish in it, you could go out of business and you can lose your investment, and that is the definition of planting your seed into bad ground. In America, we may have people who buy lottery tickets, and these are people who are hoping to hit it big and win millions of dollars overnight. I have not found the concept in the Bible, but in the Bible, if you want to win millions of dollars, you must start with what you have and plant it to cause it to grow into millions of dollars. This is the Bible concept of financial seed planting and reaping an increase. These are clear Bible farming concepts that you need to learn and apply to your life and what you do in this world. If you are expecting to hit it big and get rich overnight, the odds are that it will not happen. Yes, the lottery does occasionally reward someone with a large payment that gives the appearance of possibility that it can happen to anyone. However, mathematically speaking, the odds of it happening to you is extremely low. And even when you get the lottery, you don't all get it all in one lump sum, most likely. So it's not all happening overnight. Anyhow, in the scripture, it says about money and finances related to the seeds in Genesis 8:22. Says, while the earth remained, it seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So while this scripture does not directly mention money, it can be applied to money very easily. This verse states the Bible law that established the concept of planting seeds and reaping harvest as long as the earth exists. This would seem to imply that the principle will exist in the new earth to come also. Okay? This will be like planting corn seed in the ground today and then digging it up tomorrow to take another field that you heard was better ground. If you think this is stupid to you, you are right, but the financial world, people do it every day. Money anywhere, you should first determine if it's good ground to plant it in. So in Leviticus 26 and 16, it says, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and burning egg, that you shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. So what I wanted to do was to show you that every seed sown can have an enemy. Again, here we have God telling the children of Israel that the seeds they have sown will be eaten by their enemies. This was usually caused by reckless disregard for obeying God's word. Whenever the children of Israel disobey God, this will open the door that allow enemies to come in and take what they had worked for. This is a lesson for Christians to learn from as a bad example of what not to do. In Deuteronomy 28 and 38, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. So you can see another verse where insects can come and eat your seed. Here God says you will take a lot of seeds in your field and harvest very little. Okay, so that wraps up our time for tonight. And I wanted to give you one more example of the scripture. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says that every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giving. So when you give, and this is including money, you receive back what you gave. And it says you give, you get back in abundance, okay? So as a Christian, we are to plant financial seeds in order to get financial seeds back into return. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. And next week, we'll finish up this topic, planting spiritual seeds, before we get into our new topic, dealing with the loss of a loved one. Again, dealing with the loss of a loved one. Hope you have a great night. And we pray to God that you all have a safe night and safe week until I see you again. From your hostess, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, love you, be blessed, continue to sow seeds that produce incorruptible seeds. Thank you. Have a good night.